May it please the court. Tom Carberry, attorney registration, 19707, appearing for Mr. Fulham. A court never has jurisdiction to impose a sentence on a conviction not found by the jury verdict or implied by the jury verdict. That's the issue in this case.
Before you get to that issue, the people have raised the question of whether your motion really was under 35C, not 35A. 35C having a 3-year time limit with it.
Well, that's clearly incorrect, Judge Sternberg. It's clear that this is a 35A case. 35A deals with jurisdiction, and that's what we have here. The rule specifically says if the court is without jurisdiction, that's an illegal sentence. And here what happened is that the court remanded for a sentencing on provoked passion second-degree murder, a sentence that the jury had rejected, specifically rejected. That was the actual issue on the first direct appeal, that the trial court had characterized provoked passion as a lesser included, which it is not. The court can never impose a sentence on a lesser non-included that the jury did not reach. That just can't be. All the case law is on point on that. Crespin, which is the lead Colorado Supreme Court case, and every case after that. And then the Medina case, which I cited in the reply brief, goes right to that point. In Medina, the jury found the defendant guilty of class 5 felony, accessory after the fact, but the court sentenced him for a class 4 felony, accessory after the fact. And the Supreme Court held that that violated both the Fifth Amendment right to finding guilt beyond a reasonable doubt and the Sixth Amendment right to a trial by jury. That's what happened here. Mr. Fulham's been in prison for 14 years, physical years, since May of 1999 when he was arrested. He has been eligible for parole since 2010. He has another parole hearing in July of this year, somewhere between the 15th and the 17th of this year. This has been a long time waiting, and what Mr. Fulham and I asked this court to do is correct this error. It is clearly an error. It clearly goes to the jurisdiction of the court. Courts cannot impose sentences on when the jury did not find a defendant guilty. And I'd ask the court to remand and give the prosecution the option of going to trial again on the original charge of the charge of second-degree murder, or to impose a sentence on of reckless manslaughter.
That sounds like the remand in the earlier case.
That's close to it, but in the remand in the earlier case, they remanded to impose a sentence on provoked passion, which they could not do because that's a lesser non-included offense, Judge Sternberg. That's the key to this case. Knowing the difference between a lesser non-included, or as the Colorado Supreme Court has also referred to, provoked passion as a mitigator, because Colorado still deals with aggravators and mitigators rather than elements. But either way you phrase it, mitigator or elements, provoked passion is a lesser non-included. Now, the jury rejected it, and this court did not have the authority or the jurisdiction to order a sentence for Mr. Fuller on provoked passion second murder, to be murdered. For that reason, I ask this court to reverse its original ruling from the 2002 case and to remand this case for imposition of a sentence for reckless manslaughter or for a new trial on the issue of second-degree murder. Thank you.
Excuse me, counsel.
Yes, sir.
Is your argument similar to an Apprendi argument, that this is a sentence that was entered without a jury finding?
Yes, exactly. And I've cited Apprendi multiple times in my briefs.
Our case is pretty consistently held that Apprendi is a 35C issue, not a 35A issue.
Well, but that's a different thing. In most of our Apprendi cases, what we're dealing with is whether the judge sentenced somebody in an aggravated range within the jury finding of what the jury found. Okay. And that's a completely different thing, and that's what under Weisinger and under Rule 35A, this court has held that you have 120 days to correct it, or 3 years depending on how 35C. But here this is a sui generis case. It's completely different than any other case. No Colorado case, no Apprendi cases address this. He wasn't convicted of provoked passion second degree murder. That's the problem. It can't be a 35C issue.
Excuse me, you say he's not convicted, but there is a minimus in the case, a judgment showing that he was convicted of that.
No, that's a judgment, but that's a judgment, but that's a piece of paper. A conviction requires a jury verdict or a guilty plea. That's a piece of paper that the court didn't have jurisdiction to type out. That's just, you know, Mr. Fulham has a constitutional right to be finding of guilt either by jury or by pleading guilty. By convicting him, by imposing a sentence on a finding that the jury rejected. It's not just that the jury, it's not implied by the jury's finding. It's not implied. It's this court, and Judge Marcus, you were on the panel. This court ruled that that was incorrect. It was improper the way the court had instructed the jury. And the prosecution in that case had asked for it, and the jury and the judge knew it, and the defense had submitted the right kind of instruction. In other words, the prosecution engaged in prosecutorial misconduct by characterizing it that way. And now the prosecution is asking this court to reward it many years later because his lawyers were ineffective all the way through. And even if you characterize this as a 35C, which nobody has asked us to do, Mr. Fulham has justifiable excuse. His lawyers were ineffective. His public defender, Martin Guerra, a friend of mine, he just didn't understand what the issue was, the legal issue. He petitioned for cert, but he couldn't phrase the issue the way it is. The court cannot have jurisdiction to impose a sentence when the jury has rejected that sentence. That's the issue. And he hasn't been convicted. He's a man serving 30 years in prison with no jury verdict and no guilty plea. That violates both the Fifth and the Sixth Amendment, and it violates Article 2, Section 16, and Section 25. And I would ask the court to reverse and do the right thing, and not to just bury this in an unpublished opinion where another black man just goes to prison for years and years. That's what I'm afraid of here. Because the right thing is to follow the law, to follow Crespin, to follow People Against Medina, and to let Mr. Fulham have his constitutional rights. As the court pointed out in the original opinion, this was a highly contested case. There were a lot of evidence of heat of passion, and that's why the court couldn't find harmless error. And I'd like to have Mr. Fulham have a chance to have a real trial or to be sentenced. He's going to get out soon, one day, no matter what. And I think it's incumbent on this court to do justice. And justice is to follow the law and to order a retrial or an imposition of a sentence for reckless manslaughter. Thank you.
Counsel?
May it please the court, my name is Melissa Allen, registration number 23155, here on behalf of the people. I'm not exactly sure where I want to start, but I think I'll start by saying that I think that it's inappropriate to characterize the prosecution's request for the lesser provoked passion second-degree murder as prosecutorial misconduct. I would note that this record includes a discussion of the jury instructions, and that occurred on September 15th, 1999, which was almost 2 years before People v. Garcia came out. And the same thing basically happened in Garcia. This wasn't some purposeful, attempting to mess with the system. It was a misunderstood instruction at that point. People were having trouble with it, including the courts. So I just think that that's flat out wrong. I would also note.
Excuse me, Councilman. Are you conceding or do you agree that what happened, laying aside the question whether it's 35C, 30A, but that what happened was not right?
Could you be more specific that what happened?
The sentencing him on the
no, I'm not conceding that.
That's not included.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
No, and I'll get to that.
Okay.
No, absolutely not. I would also just note for the record that during that discussion of the jury instruction at around page 877 of the transcript, the court noted that the defense was asking for it as a lesser included offense, and that then the prosecution commented after that, that might be easier for the jury to understand it that way because it's kind of confusing. I just want to get that out there because it is bothersome to have that prosecutorial misconduct out there. Now, I'd like to discuss some of these cases that we've been going over, and you know, maybe my reading of them is a little bit incorrect, but I don't see Crespin v. Peoples standing for the proposition that a court can only enter on a lesser included offense. In Crespin, the discussion was about a lesser offense, and I'm fully aware that in that case, the lesser was second-degree murder, and he'd been convicted of first-degree murder. But nothing in that opinion says, and only, a lesser included offense. And here, I mean, it's hard to categorize. Provoked passion is not a lesser included. It's a mitigator. And the reason the court in this case entered the jury verdict for provoked passion is because exactly what counsel commented on in his argument, which is there was tons of evidence to go to the idea that there was provoked passion here. And given the fact that the jury did not reject, I disagree with that as well, the jury did not reject provoked passion, the jury didn't get to the issue of provoked passion because it was instructed incorrectly. So it found him guilty of second-degree murder, and then because of the error, the court lowered that to the next appropriate level, which would be the F3, under the assumption that had it been properly instructed, it could have found him guilty of second-degree murder and then considered the mitigator of provoked passion.
You're saying the jury never reached provoked passion? Is that
I don't
correct?
Believe it did. I believe that it stopped once it hit second-degree murder. But if it did reject provoked passion, the idea is that it would have been because there was an error in the jury instruction, as opposed to a jury making a specific finding, we do not find provoked passion. I mean, if the jury had made a correct finding that there was no provoked passion, we wouldn't be here. So I think that we can't make assumptions on what the jury was doing. We know that it found all of the elements of second-degree murder. The question is whether it would have also found the mitigator.
How do we decide that question if the record is muddled, as you see it?
If the record's not clear on that?
If the record's not clear as to it.
Well,
let me say it differently. You're saying that the record is not clear that the jury rejected provoked passion.
That's my understanding, yes, sir.
And how does anyone decide then what to do next?
Well, I think that you have to decide. Well, first of all, I think the court did decide what to do because the jury instruction was incorrect and the jury was not instructed on how to properly consider provoked passion. It gave the defendant the benefit of the doubt and entered a jury verdict for the lesser F3 provoked passion second-degree murder, which I think is, given the facts that were presented, was entirely proper. I don't believe that, you know, there's a jurisdictional issue or anything else. And I wanted to point out, first of all, I don't want to lose track of the fact that I do think this is completely time-barred. I feel obligated to discuss these cases because I didn't in my answer brief. I stuck with the fact that I believe this would have been properly brought, or is a 35C, and that it's time barred. But I also think that, you know, as far as in People v. Garcia, a case where there was a similar issue with the provoked passion, I'm aware that the Supreme Court reversed for a new trial across the board, but I think that there was one big difference in that case, and that was that that wasn't the only error that occurred in that case. There were errors with the self-defense instruction, which could have resulted in an all-out acquittal if those errors hadn't occurred, which in my opinion is why no lesser was entered or the prosecution wasn't given the option, because there were those errors that had to do with self-defense as well. I really don't have much more to go over.
Why don't you tell us why you think it's a 35C?
Well, I think that he was sentenced within the parameters of the statute for second-degree murder provoked passion, and I don't think the court was without jurisdiction under the case law that we have to enter the jury verdict for the lesser. I mean, to me it's clear that it should be considered a 35C. As this court mentioned, you know, Apprendi deals with these ideas of having a jury make the finding, and all of those cases are reviewed under a 35C, not a 35A, and that's, to me, the same kind of funnel that we should be looking at this through. Not to mention the fact that this has been remanded a number of times, and the Supreme Court denied cert on it. I didn't get a chance to find the exact issue that was presented on cert to the court the original time after the direct appeal, but presumably, if this was such a glaring error, the Supreme Court would have taken note of that the first time around. And with that, I would just ask that this court please affirm the defendant's conviction.
Thank you. Mr. Carberry, any rebuttal?
Thank you, Judge Miller. I just have a few points I would like to make. As to Ms. Allen's statement that there were tons of evidence about heat of passion, in People Against Medina, the Colorado Supreme Court said, quote, no matter how overwhelming the evidence, the sentencing court may not direct a verdict for the state. And that's 163 P3rd at page 1140. And they cited Sullivan against Louisiana for that proposition, the U.S. Supreme Court case that said that a bad reasonable doubt instruction is structural error. And in Medina, they said it was structural error to impose a sentence on a crime not found by the jury and reversed. And then I would like to just briefly discuss the Garcia case. That's People Against Manuela Garcia, 28 P3rd, 340. And in that case, very similar to this case, the Supreme Court reversed because of a bad provoked passion instruction, and there were other issues, I won't grant that, but they did remand for a new trial because provoked passion just is not a lesser included. And then as far as why this is a 35C, Ms. Allen says because the sentence was within the parameters of the statute for a class 3 felony. But the problem is you only get to the statute if you have a conviction. And no court has the authority to impose a directed verdict. And that's what the Supreme Court said in Medina. And you just can't do it. You can say that we can accept the lesser included, but you can't direct a verdict for something the jury didn't find. And then finally, the fact that the Supreme Court didn't grant certiorari back in 2002 or 2003 really has no precedential value, because the denial of cert has no precedential value either in the state court or in the federal courts. Thank you.
Then our court was wrong in remanding the case, giving the option. That's your argument.
That's correct, yes, sir. The correct remand would have been to give the option of a retrial for second-degree murder or going to sentencing on heat of passion manslaughter, on reckless manslaughter.
And again, that was looked at by the Supreme Court, and cert was denied.
No, that's not true. The lawyer, the public defender for Mr. Fulham, never raised that issue, this issue at all in the petition for certiorari. He just didn't, he knew that there was something wrong, and he basically filed a petition for certiorari saying there's something wrong, but he never explained what that something was. And what the something was that this heat of passion was a lesser not included, and he didn't figure that out. He never stated that to the Supreme Court in the petition for certiorari.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
Thank you, counsel. Thank both counsels for their excellent arguments. Case is submitted, and we're going to be, we will render a jurisdiction, we will render a decision in due course.